2 Chronicles 34. What's the verse you know in 2 Chronicles? I say 2 Chronicles, what do you automatically think of? 7:14, what does it say? If my people, which are called by my name, would humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear them and I will forgive them and I will heal their land. And so that's the promise that God made to Solomon in response to Solomon's prayer as the temple was dedicated. And 16 kings later and 300 years later, we come to verse or chapter 34. So there's been a lot to happen since then. In the year that Josiah became king of Judah, there was a man born who we'll be introduced to later in the Bible, and his name is Jeremiah. Josiah became king. If you'll look at verse number 1, chapter 34, he was 8 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned in Jerusalem 130 years. He did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and walked in the ways of David his father, and declined neither to the right hand nor to the left. And that's great. You know, look at our children. How old are you, Elijah? You want to be king? Sure, why not? But just imagine Elijah as king. Now, it says Josiah sought the Lord, and he didn't stray one side or another. He stayed right with God. He was a boy of prayer. He was a boy after God's heart. He wanted to know God. He sought after God. If you look at verse 3, in the 8th year of his reign. So if he started at 8, how old does that make him? 16 years old. Again, a young man, a teenage boy. Wouldn't that excite you if you had a teenager like that around? Right? The 16 years old. Look at what it says he did. He was yet young. He began to seek after the God of David, his father. So his desire was to honor his heritage, to honor the legacy. And he thought of King David, the first great king of Israel, of course, only following Saul. But as David became king and he was a man after God's own heart, now Josiah wants to be like David, and so he wants to do what David did in honoring God. In the 12th year, he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem from the high places and the groves and the carved images and the molten images. So now he's what? 20 years old. At 20 years old, he's king. But he's grown up and he's matured. I know 20 is still very young. But he says, you know what? I can make a difference. I can actually do something with my position. I don't just have to be a man of prayer in private. I don't just have to be a man after God's own heart in my own life, in my own corner. But I can be publicly a man of faith. I can make a difference. I can do something with my faith. I can impact other people. And by doing what I'm going to do, I can help our country. I can help our nation. Don't we love our nation? We love America. But you know what? If we fight all these little political arguments, instead of trying to reach people for Jesus, we'll never have the impact that we would if we had just reached people for Jesus. And if they'll get saved and they'll be like Josiah and seek after God and seek wisdom and counsel of God, then they'll do the right thing. And we won't have to tell them how to live their lives now. I know that if we took away all of the laws, we'd have complete disorder. And so there has to be, you know, the government has to be in place and has to do things like what our governor has set forth, that we shouldn't have perversion in the libraries of our schools and taught in our classrooms. You know, so yes, we do have to use positions like that, like the governor has. He said, you know what, I can use my position and I can make an impact. And they're saying, well, you know, that's his belief. No, we're trying to protect the children from perverts. And anybody that can't understand that doesn't want to understand that. not a freedom of speech issue or book burning issue. This is about what's right, what's moral. And I know morality comes from God. And so he used his position at 20 years old to impact the nation, to say, look, you got to stop worshiping these devil idols. You got to stop going up in the high places and making offerings to these false gods. Verse 4, they break down the altars of Balaam in his presence and the images that were on the high above. He cut down the groves and the carved images, the molten images. He break in pieces, made dust of them, and strode it upon the graves of them that had sacrificed unto them. Who would that be? Well, that would be their priests. He didn't stop there. Verse 5, he burnt the bones of the priests upon their altars, and he cleansed Judah and Jerusalem. So he really did make an impact. He said, we're not going to do this anymore. We're not going to have this coexistence mentality. We're going to worship God. We're going to have one God and one faith. Now look, you say, well, Pastor, we can't do that in America. We can't do it by force, shouldn't do it by force, but we should do it by influence. I'm not the king of America, and I, you know, look at these people that get in positions of power, and sometimes they wield their power in such a reckless way. But Josiah says, look, we've got to turn our country around. We've got to stop this. We're going to be in trouble if we don't do something about our country. And verse number 8, in the 18th year of his reign, still a young man, only 26 years old, he had purged the land and the house. He sent Shaphan, the son of Azaliah, Messiah, the governor of the city, and Joah, the son of Johaz, and the recorder, to repair the house of the Lord his God. He said, guys, you know what? It's not just good for us to do something out there. Look at the house of God. It's in shambles. It's dirty. It's in disrepair. We need to fix it. Now, in those 300 years since it had been erected and dedicated, we have to understand that there had been battles where they come. And what do? They attack Jerusalem. And they attack the temple. And so this was a place where the enemy wanted to come and attack. Why? Because the enemy wants to attack the house of God. Man, if he can get people to be afraid to go to church, he's won. If he can get us not to serve God, not to worship, not to give to God, then he's won. And he's active in that. And so repeatedly they attack the Jerusalem and they attack the temple. And King Josiah says, guys, let's get this place looking like it should. Let's fix this place. And so he assigned some people to get it done. 26 years old. Don't you know there were people around him older than he was that should have done that? Don't you know that the priests that were in charge of the temple worship and the sacrifices should have led that? But Josiah comes along. He says, guys, we're going to do this. We're going to make it happen. Verse number 12, it says, the men did the work faithfully. And I'm glad they did. I appreciate faithful workers. We need that. We need people who will pitch in and take part. Whether that's on the weekly service or the stuff that's done behind the scenes. You know, doesn't Sister Betty do a beautiful job of decorating? Even though she can't be here for the church service, she does a wonderful job making sure it's pretty for everybody else, doesn't she? I appreciate that. That's just one of those things that's behind the scenes. I appreciate the bulletin each week. It's wonderful, isn't it, to have stuff like that done? You know, there are things that happen behind the scenes and you know, as far as delivering online, there's a lot of work that goes in that sometimes. I'm glad when there's no work that goes into it, except Sister Barbara back there pushing buttons. But sometimes it takes a group effort to get things going again. And our Sunday school teachers, the time that they dedicate to prayer and study to be ready for those children and the love that they give, they did their work faithfully, the Bible says. And I appreciate faithful workers. And yes, there are lots of things that have to happen in order for us to come to church without any problems, no hiccups. I appreciate those that stand at the door. And I'm glad we hadn't needed them there, but I'm glad they're there. And who knows if we need them. Maybe somebody saw them and decided that we needed them. But thank God they're there. Faithful, dedicated to the work. Look at verse 14, if you will. When they brought out the money that was brought into the house of the Lord, Hilkiah the priest found a book of the law of the Lord given by Moses. Wouldn't that be quite a discovery? Man, they went to the treasury, and you know what they found? Treasure. They found the Word of God. The book of the law. Can you imagine Hilkiah the priest as he opens it and begins to read it and understand what this is? That's incredible. And Josiah is the king. During the repairs, they discover the book of the law. Verse number 18, Shaphan the scribe told the king, saying, Hilkiah the priest has given me a book. And Shaphan read it before the king. He read the word of God to this young man, this 26-year-old king in Jerusalem. And can you imagine the heart of the king as he listens to the word of God that was delivered? As he hears the scripture being read in his ears at 26 years old for the first time. Now this is a young man who at 8 years old decided, I'm going to live for God. Who as a teenager decided, you know what, I'm going to live the way King David did. I'm going to be a man after God's own heart. He had made those decisions because his tradition and his family taught him right from wrong. But that was before he even knew what the scripture said. And now, as an adult, and even one who had rid the community of all these false idols and those priests and everything, ran those false religions out of town, he had done all the right things, and he had no understanding, no knowledge, direct knowledge of the Word of God. You know, when people visit the church, they come to church here, and, you know, they get a little regular with coming to church, and they'll say to me, you know what I like about this church? You teach the Bible. The Bible. You know why? Because you can go to a lot of churches and they'll read one verse and never go back to the Bible. They don't read out of the Bible. Guys, I don't know any other way to do this. You know what people need? They need the Word of God. We need the Scripture, and it feeds us. The Word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. And it says, they read it to him, but look at what happens in verse 19. It came to pass when the king had heard the words of the law, he rent his clothes. You see what he had a knowledge of God. He had a knowledge of truth, but it was deeper than he ever knew. God is greater than he even understood. God's expectations were more than he had been taught. And so when he heard what God said in his word, it struck him. He was moved. He rent his clothes, which is a sign of mourning. Verse number 21, he calls on the priest and he says in verse 21, go inquire of the Lord for me and for them that are left in Israel. Understand at this point, Israel had already been taken as hostages and they were exiled, many of them. And in Judah, concerning the words of the book that is found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that is poured out upon us, because our fathers have not kept the word of the Lord to do after all that is written in this book. He said, guys, no wonder we're in a mess. That's what he's saying. No wonder we're in a mess. We look at our country, guys, it's no wonder we're in a mess. I can tell you, to some extent, where a lot of this came from is when mom and dad decided they were going to let the kids decide if they were going to go to church. When mom and dad decided we're going to let the kids decide if they're going to live for God. And now we're letting them decide if they're going to be boys or girls. We're in trouble. We're in huge trouble. But we started giving the kids control, letting them decide everything. When we turned it over to the children, look, here's an 8-year-old in the Bible who had it all right. But he had better training, didn't he? Obviously. We've turned it all over and taken away the leadership and the direction and the discipline. And we're in trouble now. Josiah says, no wonder we're in the mess we're in. No wonder the enemy can come into Samaria and take hostages and take them away. No wonder they can come and attack the temple and God doesn't protect us. We're in a mess because our fathers didn't do what was right in the sight of God. He said, pray for us, pray for me, pray for all the people that are left. Verse 22, and Hilkiah, they that the king had appointed, went to Huldah, the prophetess, the wife of Shallum, son of Tikvath, son of Hasrath, keeper of the wardrobe. Now she dwelt in Jerusalem in the college. And they spake to her that effect. She answered them, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, tell ye the man that sent you to me, thus saith the Lord, behold, I will bring evil upon this place and upon the inhabitants thereof, even all the curses that are written in the book which they have read before the king of Judah. Now look at this. Now this is important. Don't overlook it. God said it's already written there. What I told you would be the penalty, that's the penalty. What I told you would be the judgment, that's the judgment. There's no surprise test. If we live according to the word of God, according to the will of God that he has written, that he has expressed to us, we'll be fine. But if we don't, we can expect judgment. We can expect wrath. Verse 25, because they have forsaken me, burned incense to other gods that they might provoke me to anger with all the works of their hands, therefore my wrath shall be poured out upon this place and shall not be quenched. God's answer was, judgment is coming. Remember, 300 years ago, he told Solomon, if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear. And I will forgive and I will heal. God said, oh, that's what I'll do. I promise that's what I'll do. And yet, over that period of time, they've gone in cycles where they would serve God and turn from God and serve God and turn from God. And God would bring the judgment and they would turn back. And so Josiah says, pray. They go. The prophetess is there and she's walking with God. She understands the will of God. And she says, this is what God says. God says, I'm bringing judgment. You tell them, I'm bringing judgment. But, look at verse 26. As for the king of Judah who sent you to inquire of the Lord, so shall you say unto him, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, concerning the words which thou hast heard. Look at verse 27. This is lovely. This is wonderful. Because thine heart was tender, and thou didst humble thyself before God, when thou heardest his words against this place, and against the inhabitants thereof, and humblest thyself before me, and didst rend thy clothes, and weep before me, I have even heard thee also, saith the Lord. I will gather to thee thy fathers, and thou shalt be gathered to thy grave in peace. Neither shall thine eyes see all the evil that I will bring upon this place and upon the inhabitants of the same. You know what God said? God said, read the book. If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear. Then will I forgive. Then will I heal. And whatever I have done, I will take back and undo it. He said, it's in the book. He said, because you were tender-hearted. Guys, the world's made us hard, hasn't it? Our lives and our experiences have hardened us, and we've got our walls up and our guard up, and we don't want to humble ourselves, and we don't want to be transparent, and we don't want to submit ourselves to God. God says that's the only way you're going to get anything done is when you are tender-hearted and humble. And when you see the word and you hear the word and you respond to the word. He said, Josiah, I'm going to bring judgment, but not in your day. You see, as long as I've got someone in charge, someone that's leading that I can trust in, that has confidence in me, I'm going to bless this nation. So as long as you're there, you've got my promise, everything will be okay. You've got my promise, judgment will not come in your lifetime. Verse 29, Josiah wasn't satisfied with that. You see, some people, and we even read about some kings, and they say, when God gives the answer, well, it's not going to happen in your day. They go, well, then what does it matter? Josiah didn't settle for that. Josiah gathered all the children of Israel. Look at verse 29. He gathered together all the elders of Judah and Jerusalem. And the king went up into the house of the Lord, and all the men of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and the priests and the Levites and all the people, great and small. And he read in their ears all the words of the book of the covenant that was found in the house of the Lord. Josiah says, guys, y'all need to hear this. Y'all need to know what's at stake. That's what the world needs. They need to know what's at stake. They need to know that it's not just the disagreements that we have. We don't just have disagreements because we don't like what they believe. We have disagreements because we know the truth. We know the truth and we know the favor of God and we know the judgment of God and we love our country. We don't want to see judgment on our country. We want to see blessings and favor. We want a nation that honors God. We want leaders that honor God. But you see, it doesn't start at the governor's mansion or the Capitol building or the White House. It starts in the home. We've got to have that teaching. Now here's a man, Josiah, who didn't get that. He didn't get that at a church. He didn't get that anywhere. You know where he got it? He got it at home. He was taught right from wrong and he grew up to honor God and he followed God and he wanted to know God. And the more he knew about God, the more he wanted other people to know about God. Guys, y'all got to hear this, he said. And he read it. And in verse 31, he stood in his place and made a covenant before the Lord to walk after the Lord and to keep his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes with all his heart, with all his soul, to perform the words of the covenant which are written in this book. And he caused all that were present in Jerusalem and Benjamin to stand to it. And the inhabitants of Jerusalem did according to the covenant of God, the God of their fathers. You see, who is it that we need to lead us? We need somebody that's tenderhearted and humble, who responds to the word of God, who responds to the correction of God. And the more they know about God, the more they want others to know about God. Shouldn't that be all of our desire? To want everybody to know our God, our Savior? That's our desire tonight. But you can be young and make a difference. We always look at Jeremiah as being an old man. But you know, if you'll go to the book of Jeremiah, here's what it says. In the 13th year of the reign of King Josiah. You know what that makes Jeremiah? 13 years old. We never think of Jeremiah as being a young man, do we? I've read where people say, you know, maybe he was 20 or 25 when he got into ministry. But if you, I mean, go to Jeremiah. Tell me if I'm wrong. He was a teenager. And he said, you know what? I'm going to live for God. And God gave him words to touch a nation. We see that King Josiah reigned for 31 years, which means that Jeremiah began preaching, you know, 13 years into that. So there were still 18 years left in Josiah's reign. And Jeremiah was saying, y'all got to get it right. Y'all got to get it right. As we look at this, right, it said in his 12th year. So they were right about the same time, working in conjunction, trying to get the nation to turn to God. That's what we need. We need to turn to God. God, we love you. We're thankful for our church. We're thankful for your word. God, the truth that is in it, the inspiration, the challenge. God, we want people to know you. The more we know you, the more we want others to know you. We love you, God. We're thankful that you love us. We believe your word. We accept it. We apply it in our lives and pray that you will search us and try us and show us where we fall short and what we need to do better so we can do not to the right, not to the left, but right on track as you've called us to do. Dismiss us with your grace. Forgive us our sins. In Jesus' name, amen.